This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode number 30 for October 20th, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another edition of Living the RV Dream Podcast. I am your host, Robert Morales, and today broadcasting to you live, not live on tape, like they used to say, from a campground in LEJ, Georgia, which is a very nice town, by the way. I'll tell you all about it real quick here in a few minutes. And this podcast is brought to you by my YouTube channel, youtube.com/travelingrobert, or if you go to your browser and type rvvlog.com, it should, if everything works out, it should forward you to my YouTube channel. And since we don't have a sponsor at the moment, I figured might as well plug my YouTube channel. And there you can hear, you will see all the adventures that I talk about here in the podcast, but you will see them a couple of weeks later. Like I'm in the YouTube channel, I'm still by the Charlotte video, which was like 2 months ago, that I got to spend some time with a fellow YouTuber and blogger and friend, Brian Wood. He has a blog and a YouTube channel called The RVing Illustrated, and he also maintains the Thor Motorhome group on Facebook, a very active group over there. So that's what's going on with my YouTube channel. And now on this Sunday coming up, I'm gonna release the video about Charleston. What a beautiful city, Charleston. I'm sure I've talked about it before. I've been there twice, and every time I go, I fall a little more in love with that city. It's so much history, and it's such a picturesque, it's a pretty town, no matter which way you look at it. And in this video that is coming up Sunday, I'm going to show you a Fort Sumter that you have to take a ferry to, but it's a national park, very, very informative tour. As you probably know, Fort Sumter was where the Civil War got started. You know, the first shots were there. And for those of you who are new to the podcast, I am Robert Morales. I travel usually with my wife, and we have a travel trailer, a Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB, and we tow it with a little underpowered SUV, but it does well. It's been performing, knock on wood, it's been performing admirably here in the hills of northern Georgia. And I'm going to tell you all about this latest trip that we are on. A couple of months ago, I quit my job to dedicate myself full time to producing videos and all this online business, and it takes time for it to grow. But eventually, the idea is that not having to go back to corporate America and travel full time and share my experiences. And if enough of you watch my videos and listen to the podcast, I'll get sponsors and make a living doing what I love, which is this. And for that purpose, I've had to travel a lot more. And I'm doing this leg of the trip solo because my wife had to fly back to Miami for work. So I'm here all by my lonesome inside the RV. And in the beginning, it's hard when you're used to having company. And you know how it is. Anyways, let me tell you about this trip. As you know, I left from Miami by myself, and the first two nights, I spent in Central Florida at Lake Louisa State Park, which is a beautiful state park. I told you about it in the previous podcast. Then I crossed into Georgia, and I stayed at the Harvest Host location. I became a member of Harvest Host, which, as you probably know, is this it's like a subscription service that you pay. I believe it's $22 a year, or $20 if you make a multi-year commitment. And then they give you a database of wineries and farms and museums, places like that, where you can stay, you know, boondocking or dry camping. Some of them even have electrical power and hookups, but most of them don't. And the idea, the trade-off is that you spend some money at the store. You know, if it's a winery, you know, do the tasting or buy a bottle of wine. If it's a farm, buy some fresh products, etc., etc. So I stayed at this Horse Creek Winery, and let me tell you, I bought a couple, two bottles of wine, but at night I was the only person there. It was a little creepy being by yourself in a parking lot, especially coming from Miami, which is a big city and hence dangerous or perceived to be dangerous. So it's a little unnerving to be, but I slept well. The only thing is at 6 a.m., the gardening crew, you know, the landscapers came in and they started mowing the lawn and, you know, with the weed eater and trimming the grass, and it was noisy and, yeah. I don't know, I'm having bad luck with Harvest Host. It hasn't been a perfect experience yet. And everybody raves about him, so I'm probably gonna give him a third or a fourth chance, see if it works out. But I left there, you know, mid morning, and there were a couple of places that I wanted to visit or revisit. For example, there's this it's a gas station, but it's called the Magnolia Plantation, and they have some, you know, peanuts and pecans and, you know, the usual Georgia stuff. But everything, if you look at the ingredients in all the bottles, you can tell it's mass produced. There's all kinds of name, unpronounceable names, and, you know, high fructose corn syrup. Why do they have to use that? You know, just use natural ingredients. It would be a lot better. But anyways, I digress. The only item that we liked the last time we were there, and we bought a bottle and we really liked it, they have like a peach infused hot sauce. Actually, I have it here in my fridge. Let me see. Let me look at the label. It is called from the Sunbelt Plantation. It's a Vidalia onion and Georgia peach hot sauce. This stuff is amazing. Let me put it back in the fridge. Yeah, I've got the Dometic closed. So I bought that there, and then I continued. A couple of people had, you know, from my previous trip, I was around here just 2 months ago, had recommended that I go to this place called SL Sausage Company, or SL Company Sausages. They have sausages and jerkies, and they had some steaks. Oh, they're like the ribeye. Yeah, the ribeye steaks looked amazing, mouth-watering, but, you know, they were expensive, and I said, I'm not gonna, you know, grill them. Maybe I would, but I decided to go for the sausages, which is like one of the most famous things there. And I bought two sausages, one with the Vidalia onions, and one hot sausage, hot beef sausage, and they were excellent. By the way, eat them later in the trip, that same night actually. But the store is nice, and there's a lot of parking because a lot of truckers go there to buy stuff, and it's a gas station, and in the back they have a trucker's alley, or it's called the trucker's lane, and you can park your RV there. So I didn't have to unhitch or anything like that. The next place that I went, and it also has plenty of parking for RVs. Not plenty, but it has a couple of places on the right on the dirt that you can park, is Ellis Brothers Pecans. And boy, the best roasted pecans I've ever had. Their website is wearenuts.com, and their slogan is like, we're nuts to sell this cheap or something like that. But I bought some pecans. And what else did I buy? Oh, I bought some relish, Vidalia onion relish. I have it here too in my fridge because it was so good. Let me. Here it is. It's called a sweet onion pepper relish. That stuff is fantastic. And as you can see, it has a couple of artificial ingredients, you know, for preservation, like potassium sorbate. But it's really good. Let me put it back in the fridge, and let me continue. Here, I'm sorry, I'm walking away from the mic for a couple of seconds, but my RV is very small. I'm in a 19-foot travel trailer, so I can pretty much reach anywhere from my seat here. And the fridge is right behind me. Okay, Ellis Brothers Pickens, and from there, I was a little frustrated because it was really, really hot, and I guess humid, but it was unbearably hot hearing there in southern Georgia. And as I said, I didn't bring the generator, and I was cursing myself every minute for not bringing it, because there's, you know, I had to be in the car with the air conditioning. I couldn't like hang out in the RV, and even with the fantastic vent, when the temperature is in the 90s, there's nothing you can do. So I decided to look for a place, and that was the original idea was to boondock at a Walmart near Macon, or if anything, go to the same place that we went to the last time, the Al-Siha Shrine, which is just south of Macon. But then my mom, of all people, said that she had found on Google Maps this place called Arrowhead, and it turns out it's called Arrowhead Park, and it is on the shores of Lake Tobisofke. So I said, well, why not? Let's give this a shot. And I drove there. It's just west of Macon. And it was like $25 for a pull through. And it was very nice. It was like on a hill, not the most level of sights, but that's always a complaint of mine. Actually, this one wasn't so bad. But you know, I didn't even unhitch. I just stayed there, pulled out my grill, and I grilled some sausages that were absolutely fantastic. Wait till you see that video over there. And it's very picturesque, you know, that there's a bunch of sites that are right there on the water. And those are the best. I didn't get one of those. And in the morning, I woke up, and they were having a marathon around that area, and a bunch of people running around, and very, very cool. And by the way, I do want to return to this place, to Lake Tobisofke, because it looks like there's a lot of stuff to do in the area. There's another campground on the other side of the lake, and the restaurant whose name escapes me right now, actually, that everybody recommended that I go. A bunch of people recommended. So even with the marathon race going, I went along and walked on all those lanes where they were having the marathon, because there were not real walking trails that I could find. So I just wanted to walk around, and I just kind of pretended that I was part of the marathon, I guess. Something really funny, there was this guy speaking in Spanish into a phone, vlogging the whole marathon. And I wonder who he is. He sounded like a Mexican accent. And he's probably a vlogger, you know, like a travel blogger, or maybe he's a marathon vlogger. I don't know, but he was shooting a video while running. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Anyways, from here, I continued, of course, the next day. I was looking and found this state park by Lake Alatoona. And I've seen Lake Alatoona a couple of times because it's on right off I-75 when you go north, the couple of times that I've gone north of Atlanta. And I found this state park called Red Top Mountain, which is just by Cartersville, and very, very, very beautiful place. I was actually so pleasantly surprised when I arrived in there in the afternoon. You know, and after horrible Atlanta traffic, you know, Atlanta is, I think it's worse than Miami. It's a different type of craziness. And since I am not in the same frequency, you know, in Miami, I could drive my way through the craziness of traffic. But here, you know, in Miami, for example, people will just cut you off without putting the signals. Here they put the signals, but they cut you off more aggressively than in Miami. So it's I don't know. Every day I like big cities less and less. I don't know that traffic. I like the culture and the ambience of a good, you know, like a city, But I cannot deal with the traffic anymore. Anyways, here in the, I'm digressing myself. I arrived at the Red Top Mountain, beautiful campground. I got a beautiful sight on the hill, you know, overlooking the, on the lake. It reminded me a lot of the layout of Stone Mountain, but here the sights are much more spread out. It was very, very nice, very private, and and there were a bunch of trails. There's a bunch of trails that I did, and the first one I did that evening, and it was a beautiful afternoon because all day had been cloudy, but all of a sudden the skies just opened, you know, and it was blue skies, and you know that it was like 5 p.m. so that magic hour where the you know beautiful lighting, and I took a bunch of pictures and a bunch of video. It was beautiful. The first trail that I took was it's called the Lakeshore Trail, which is like the easiest one because it's paved, so you just walk around the lake. It's like 0.7 miles, and there's some ruins because there used to be iron mining on this mountain. That's why it's called the Red Top Mountain. And there were some artifacts and some cabins from a different era. And that was very nice. That night I spent it at the campground. I tried to make a fire, but I failed miserably. I don't know, maybe the wood was wet, or maybe, let's admit it, I just don't know how to make a proper fire. I've been lucky the times that I've been able to do it. Maybe I'll buy one of those torches that just does it automatically. I don't know. Anyways, also on that afternoon before sunset, I decided to go explore Cartersville. I filled up with gas, and it's a very, you know, a quaint little historic downtown, like many of these towns have, with restaurants and shops and antique shops and gift shops and that kind of stuff. And there's also I also discovered a little beach, but it's not much of a beach. Let's keep it clear, but. Yeah, I thought maybe the next day I'll come swim at the beach, but that never happened. In the morning, I did two more trails. I did the Visitor Center Loop Trail, which is it is just behind the Visitor Center. You're just walking through the woods, basically. I was hoping that there wouldn't be any bears there, but there was just a lot of squirrels and small animals. And there's also this other trail that the two trails that I've talked about are easy. This one said moderate, but it's really not that bad. But this trail was beautiful, beautiful. It's called the Whitehead Trail, and it goes like it's right next to the Lakeshore Trail, and it goes on this peninsula on the lake. The only difficult part is it's not paved, of course. It's just you said regular trail, and there's a little bit of elevation at the beginning, so you go down a hill and then you have to come back up the hill, but that was a very, very, very rewarding. And they have also a marina there where you can rent watercrafts, and I was tempted to rent like maybe a jet ski or at least a kayak, but I changed my mind. I wanted to go get to Marietta because that day my wife was flying to the Atlanta airport, and as you know, the Atlanta airport is a little bit of a complicated airport, so it was a lot of traffic going to Marietta, but eventually I made it, and I stayed at the Atlanta Marietta RV Resort. Okay, RV Resort is pushing it. Okay, it's a nice parking lot, but resort, well, when you say resort, I expect a pool or at least a tennis court. And it had full hookups, and it's one of these RV parks that, you know, it's old and you know, things are like in a little bit of disrepair. It's not too bad, but I mean, it was the closest one we could find to the Atlanta airport, so that was that. And then I drove to the airport, and the airport is very confusing because and I didn't do my research, of course, before. So I just put on the GPS Atlanta airport, and it gives me like six choices of different places, and the Terminal South, Terminal North. And the thing is, the Atlanta airport has three terminals. There's the international terminal, which is on the east side, and that one looks like a regular loop, you know, the loop that most airports have. But then on the other side, complete other side of the airport, there's the domestic terminal, and there's the north terminal and the south terminal. The south terminal is Delta, and the north terminal is everybody else. So that was a little confusing, but luckily I arrived there before, you know, she had to exit the terminal, and just waited like 5 minutes in the... Now, luckily, every airport now has this thing called the cell phone lot, where you just park there and wait. And this one is very nice, because as you are waiting for the plane to arrive or whatever, you can see all the planes. It's right there at the area where the planes take off. And, you know, I like seeing the planes take off and wonder where they're going and all that. So I'm still like that. So yeah, that was pretty cool. And we went back to the RV park, and we just, you know, ate dinner and stayed there. I think that's all we did on this. No, I'm kidding. Who am I kidding? That day I had the plan to go after the airport before going to the RV park, since it's like kind of on the way to visit Atlanta. So I had several places to that I had planned to go to, or like restaurants and stuff. But we ended up parking near the Westin Hotel, which is like the epicenter of downtown Atlanta there, and the Peach I'm not gonna be able to pronounce this, Peachtree Street. Yes, I always have trouble pronouncing that. And well, anyways, all the big hotels are there, and we just hung out. We went to the bar at the beautiful hotel. By the way, you cannot tell from the outside. It's the Marriott Marquis, and he has like this huge atrium in the middle. You know, the height of the whole hotel is like what, 30 some stories up. And we had some bar food. Basically, we just wanted to have some champagne and such. And then we went to the bar at the top floor of the Westin Hotel, which used to be the tallest hotel in the Western Hemisphere. It no longer is. And we've been there before. That's the hotel that had the revolving restaurant that doesn't revolve anymore. It's called the Sundial. And a couple of months ago, there was an accident, and a three-year-old child lost his life. He got jammed at the perfect spot between two things in the revolving mechanism, and yeah, very sad. Anyways, continuing, we stayed there, you know, for another hour or so, enjoying our company, each other's company, and then we went back to the RV park and, you know, spent the night there. We woke up, and the plan on that day was to visit Helen, Georgia, because everybody had told me, oh, Helen is like this cute, quaint little German town. It's like super idyllic area you should visit. So I said, yeah, what the heck, let's do it. And very close to Helen, there's another Harvest Host location that had come very highly recommended. Other YouTubers have been there, and they have shot video, and it looked like a very nice place. We were not counting on, I even called the owner the night before. Hey, is it okay if we stay? You know, you're supposed to call before you go to a Harvest Host location, and I did that, and he said, yeah sure, we have room for you. And when we arrived there, the place was swamped. I mean, this was on a Saturday, so there, but the parking lot was, I mean, there was no room for us. I asked him, where can you park? And he said, no, just park on top of that, it's like a gravel ridge, like a hill. But first of all, there wasn't no room up there for us to park. And second of all, it was very steep and gravel. And as you know, I don't have the strongest tow vehicle. So I said, you know what? Let's look for a campground nearby. And we just left. And just a couple, like less than a mile away, there was this place called the Jenny's Creek Campground. Now, I think this campground is good if you have a 4x4 vehicle, but... Man, it was like very rough gravel. It looks like they just bought it. It's a young couple, and it looks like they're improving it little by little. And they were the nicest people, you know, very, very, very nice, very helpful. But the first site that they gave me, I couldn't back into it because it was like on a hill, and I didn't have enough traction with all the gravel. It was like Yeah, I couldn't do it. So I asked him if he had another site, and he said, "Yeah, I have another site. It's a little rough, it's a little off level, but you can park it there if you want." And that's what we did, and we decided, "Yeah, let's spend the night here. We'll worry about getting out on the next day." And then we went to Helen. I don't know. I don't know what's up at this time of the year, but everything was like swamped with tourists. Helen was. But in Helen, to be fair, it was Oktoberfest, because in Helen apparently they celebrate Oktoberfest like since mid September until the end of October, so it's like a big deal. But if you're gonna have a festival of that magnitude, I think that the town should prepare for it, and all the service. The restaurant where we went, the old Heidelberg, which is supposed to be one of the old Heidelberg, which is one of the most famous there. You know, the table, we sat outside of the balcony. That was the last table, the only table they had left. And it was kind of dirty. And then they took forever to bring the food. And my wife's pork, she got the strudel. It was undercooked. Really not a good experience, and the waitress had an attitude like if you don't like it, leave, you know, that kind of attitude. So that was that. We tried to go to some other different places, and there was like they were doing you a favor, and we sat at another bar, and we were sitting there for 5-10 minutes, and the bartender was right there and not doing anything, and she didn't even acknowledge us. So, you know, Helen, I might give it another chance in the low season someday, but I wasn't happy with Helen. And besides, it's just a fake town. There's no German heritage there of any kind. It's like going to Disney World, you know? There's no real culture. But at least in Disney World, they are nice to you. In here, they were not. But then again, they were swamped with you know, 20-somethings, you know, college age people, you know, getting drunk. And the people getting drunk, they don't care if the service is subpar. Oh, that's fine. Okay, strike two. We had a bad experience at Harvest Host. Now we had a bad experience at Helen. So we went back to the Jenny Creek campground, and all night I had nightmares. Literally, I'm not kidding. About getting out, because it is kind of steep, and it is kind of gravelly. You know, it's not like a very well paved road. So I had this nightmare that I was gonna start slipping. You know, lose traction and fall backwards. And but I said, you know what? If that happens, it's just property. We'll be alive. But let me tell you, a old Kia did an admirable job getting out of that campground. I did empty a little bit of the freshwater tank, you know, so we were a little lighter, so the trailer was a little lighter, easier to tow. Although I have discovered that in the highway, it is a lot more stable when I'm running heavy than when I'm running light. So that's something to consider for future travel. So what did we do after that? We wanted to use the dump station, but the dump station was like on a slope, and the guy said, you know what, it doesn't really work, but I have this other vacant site that the guy reserved, and he paid for it and everything and never showed up, and you can dump there. But I said, you know what, I am almost empty on my holding tanks. We can go to a campground today. So the next day, we wanted to stay around Lake Lanier. You know, and we wanted to stay on the southwestern part, you know, so we were close to Atlanta, because we wanted to hang out with my wife's family, which is, you know, we like to do that. It's always my brother-in-law's birthday, so it's, you know, have a good time, have a little bit of a party there with them. And everything, I didn't realize, Lake Lanier is very seasonal. A lot of the campgrounds were closed because, you know, off season. And then we found one by the Army Corps of Engineers, and I don't remember the exact name. I should look it up for you. Let me pause tape here. Okay, it is called the Sunny Campground, Sawnee. And It looked like it was fine. I mean, at that point, we would stay anywhere. But at night, they lock the door at 10:30, and you cannot go in or out after 10:30, you know, unless it is an emergency. So, no, that was no good for us because we wanted to, you know, to go out, go visit our family. You know, we didn't want to have a curfew. So at this point, we were almost resigned to go to this RV park we've been to before, which is called Jones RV Park in Norcross, Georgia, you know, near Lilburn. But it is a little run down. It is one of those RV parks where there's a lot of people living there permanently, you know, and it's not very, I mean, it does the job, it's cheap, and it's relatively well kept. But we wanted something a little better. And we've already been to Stone Mountain. We wanted to see something different. So there's this other campground near Stone Mountain, which is called Stone Mountain Ridge Campground. And the name is a little deceiving because you cannot see the mountain for the campground, which is what I thought. But it's very centrally located. It is $50 a night. It is kind of expensive. But you know, it is what it is. We wanted to spend a day near Atlanta, and That was the other option. By the way, the campground in Marietta, the other one close to Atlanta, was also a little expensive. It was like $45. But well, this was $50. And we spent the rest of the day with the family, you know, at the exchanging stories and this and that. You know how it is when the family members get together after months. There's a lot to talk about. Now, the next day in the afternoon, downtown, and then the airport. That's what we did. We went back to downtown Atlanta, and we wanted, you know, to quote unquote party a little bit before she left back to Miami. So, and we found this bar. It's the Atlanta Braves. It's right there on I'm gonna have to say it again, Peachtree Street. That's it. It's called the Atlanta Braves All-Star Cafe, and it's a bar, you know, it's a sports bar, but it was one of those sports bars that are like very nice, very well maintained. We had some egg rolls that went with the corned beef egg rolls that were fantastic, and some we had a beer, and it was fun. Actually, before that, we also went to by Piedmont Park, which is a very nice large park in Atlanta, and the neighborhood right next to it, which seems to be like a kind of ritzy neighborhood. And we had a good time exploring. And then we wanted to go to this is like a secret. There is this red phone booth right by next to the parking lot where we stayed. And it is on, let me look it up here on the map, because it is right next to the sundial and all that. What's the name of this street? It's Peach Street and Andrew Young International Boulevard. There's a red phone booth, you know, like Doctor Who phone booth, like the ones in London. And in there, you have to know a special phone number, and they open, you know, dial the number on the phone booth, and they open the door for you. What would he be? My brother-in-law's son, he gave me the code to go in, but I was wearing a t-shirt, and they require like a collar shirt. And they offered to give me a jacket, but I said, nah, you know, whatever. I didn't feel like doing that. So we just went to the airport, and that was the end of our adventure in Atlanta. And now I'm here. The next day, I spent the whole day working on the Charleston video, because, you know, you fall behind, and editing video is one of the most time-consuming things that I do. But I love doing it, but it's time-consuming. So I stayed the extra day. I didn't go out of the RV all day. Actually, there were some folks that recognized me, and they texted me from their RV, are you okay? Because I didn't come out all day. And in the morning, I wake up again for the second time in my trip to the sound of heavy machinery. And apparently they were waiting for me to leave because my sight was a little off level, a little rough, you know. That was the last sight they had. And I guess they wanted to start working on the sight. So you know, all morning I saw them there like staring at me like, when are you leaving? From there, I drove north and the idea was to stay somewhere in North Carolina. You know, I wanted to, the whole point of this trip originally was to see the fall foliage, to see the fall colors, because we don't get to see that in South Florida. And I've seen them kind of, but not fully blown. And apparently this year, fall has come late. Actually, fall came, when was it? When we were in Atlanta, all of a sudden, one night, 45 degrees overnight, and I said, "Yay, fall came!" That was the day that my wife left. That was on Monday. But the weather has been very nice since then. So from I drove north, as I said, that's what I did today, and I'm recording this on Wednesday. But then I stopped by this town of LEJ, where I am right now, and I was feeling a little tired. So I said, let me check out the town. And I just got off the highway and went into town with RV in tow and everything. And it looked cool. And I had heard that these other YouTubers, and they have a blog and a YouTube channel called Exploring the Local Life. They're a full-timing family, Robert and Jessica. They were staying in somewhere in this town, and I said, well, let me stay here. Let me take it slow, and not rush like I usually do. You know, like when I have to return to Miami. I don't really have a set date to return to Miami. I don't want to be away for too long because, you know, my mom. I miss my mom. I miss my wife. But this trip is like a practice for full timing, if you will. For me, so I know what to expect when we are on the road full time in the near future, or in the future, so at some point. So it turns out that they are staying at the same campground it's like the only campground close to town. It's called Plum Nelly Campground. The owner, her name is Nancy, very, very nice lady. And she told him, it's the high season, because it is the high season apparently around here, and I can only have you for one night. But we'll see, you know, don't pay me yet. We'll see if tomorrow I get a cancellation, this and that. And by the way, apparently this is the apple harvest season. So a lot of people come here to pick apples. And the town was very, very crowded for the two blocks. That is really the historic downtown. I was at this restaurant. And again, the only difference with Helen at this place, the waitress was very nice about it, very apologetic. So I said, well, you know, but it took 1 hour from the time I sat down at the table, actually from the time I ordered almost to my it was a hamburger. It wasn't like a paella that you are expected to wait 45 minutes. Okay, no, this was a hamburger, and it took 1 hour for the hamburger to be delivered. Well, I caught up on some social media. I answered comments on YouTube and all that while I waited, you know. But still, I don't think these small towns are really prepared for these high seasons, you know, these periods of high activity. Well, I think I've rambled enough about my trip. I wanted to ask you all something, if you can give me some feedback, because I am preparing a video about essential things that you must have in your RV, like the 10 RV essentials. And bear with me here, because we are live and I cannot find my Word document here. Here I am. So, the idea also for this video that I'm making is I have received a lot of promotional materials, you know, like I get flashlights and I get, oh, and the furnace just kicked in. It must be getting cold outside. You know, I recently received a Surge Protector, you know, one of those power management systems, a very high-end one, and things like a first aid kit. So these are the things I'm putting 13 RV essentials, and if you have any more that or you have any less that you think I should include in this video, please send me an email, Robert at TravelingRobert. I would really appreciate your support. Or just go to TravelingRobert.com and leave a voicemail on the top right corner. These are the 13 that I have. Surge protector, water pressure regulator, water filter, a weather radio, a first aid kit, a flashlight, a multi-tool, a tire pressure monitoring system, air compressor, leveling blocks, what's the nut wrench? I forgot what it's called. You know, to tighten your lug nuts on the wheels. Hose extensions, because sometimes your sewer doesn't reach the sewer hole, and sometimes the water is too far. It's happened to me both instances. And then a sewer cap range, because sometimes, especially in Florida, they have this law that it has to be the screw-on sewer connector. And in some other states, I've seen the old-fashioned, you know, that's just like a metallic cap that falls down, that goes down. But sometimes that is that plastic top is screwed too hard, and on one occasion I couldn't take it off. I had to ask for help from the office. So those are the 13 items that I have chosen for now. If you have any suggestions, something I should add, or is there something that I should subtract, send me an email. Of course, you can also follow me, and let me turn off that furnace, because it is kind of hot in here. Okay, I'm back. I know what happened this morning. I was cold, and I put it a little warmer than I usually do. And I have this really cheap thermostat that doesn't give you a temperature. It's just, you know, you're guessing. It's the one, I think it's the one like the old-fashioned with the mercury inside. Anyways, I digress. As I was saying, you can find me in all the social media. My name is Traveling Robert everywhere. And as you probably know, I also write the music for all my videos. And also, of course, the music that I play here at the beginning of the podcast. And you can get those everywhere online. But my website, if you go to travelingrobert.com/stickers, there you can buy stickers and you can buy the music. And also, if you type freeinmyrv.com on your browser, if everything works correctly, it should take you there as well. Well, that's all I have for you today. I hope you have enjoyed traveling with me on this Friday, October 20th. Can you believe it? The year is almost over. When did that happen? We are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.